Welcome back to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk.
If you are what you say you are, a superstar, then have no fear.
Welcome back. It's Hardline, 5-9 The Fan, KFNS, 5-9thefan.com. TJ Moe, Quentin Cornegay. Cornegay. Aha.
Also known as Q here.
Q, baby.
Yeah.
Q Dog. And Jim Hewer. We're hanging out with you till 3 o'clock. Thank you for hanging out. Before we go too far here, go check out Smoothie King, boys and girls. It is text day today at the Fenton location. What text day means is you get in this text club. It's a free text club. They just send you text when there's discounts. Today is $2 off any medium or large. 750 Gravois Bluffs Boulevard. Go check that out. Right there up on the bluffs there next to the movie theater across from what's going to be a Club Fitness. And so anyway, so all you got to do, text SK1326 to 816, something. And, but it doesn't matter. Just show up and they will give it to you. That is how you get in the text club. But I'm telling you about,
if I tell them
the
I know you, will I get it?
81681.
That's on my way home.
That's what it is. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Just tell them you're in. 816.
You guys know TJ Moe. So do I.
Yeah. Yeah.
Give me the discount.
It is text day indeed. So $2 off any medium or large today at the Fenton location only. Go check that out. All right. Something I was thinking about. I've told you guys a lot about this. I disagree with like 98% of, and probably less than that because he's actually somewhat of a rational thinker.
Now you're changing on us.
Bill Maher's thoughts.
Okay.
And if you guys, he's got a show on Real Time with Bill Maher on HBO.
Yep.
And he is a staunch liberal, but he is a tad bit more of, he's like a liberal of 20 years ago, minus obviously the social changes and things, right? He's for gay marriage. He's for socialized medicine and all that kind of stuff. However, what he stomps his feet about is free speech. And so I've been watching a lot of his stuff. He had Tommy Lauren on, which typically does not go well for her. She's terrible in conflict. She was so bad with Trevor Noah. If you ever have a chance to watch that.
Yes.
If you want to feel really terrible for somebody who's getting grilled, that's the time. Trevor Noah owned her. But he does really well. He's had Ben Shapiro on his show, who's a conservative. He's had Sam Harris on a lot. I've told you guys about the segment with Sam Harris and Ben Affleck. He's had a ton of... He had Ann Coulter on. So he has people that disagree with him on all the time, and they just have discussions. And the thing about Bill, the things that are really interesting and what keep people... tuned in. He's incredibly funny. He had Ann Coulter on. He was talking about the Coulter veto, because when President Trump first got in, he's got a lot of promises, and one, she was all about the wall. She wrote a whole book on the wall, basically about, she said, everybody says there's about 12 million illegal immigrants. She says there's 30, and it's because she's like, why would illegal immigrants fill out the census papers? They're illegal immigrants. Of course they're not going to. He's like, so they put data together. Anyway, going through the whole thing, and he's like, you have this Coulter veto. It's like you're Wonder Woman, but a villain. He's just very cutting, very interesting, funny, right? So, but I was thinking about why I like him so much. And we struggle today, especially, largely, President Trump is not helping, but this is not the start of it. Politics have been nasty for a long time. We struggle with people that we cannot connect with in any way whatsoever. Like, we can't find common ground in anything. Between the far, far left and even the moderate right, but certainly the far right, you can't find anything.
Impossible. Agreed.
There's nothing. So then, how are
Sun
you ever?
Sun is not orange. Sorry,
that's
not
right.
Going to agree with you.
That's right. Yeah. So if you can't find any common ground, we don't even have the basis for a discussion. There's nothing we can't even sit and tell jokes and eat dinner together. Like we don't have the basis of anything. We can't agree on, as you pointed out, is the sky blue? No, I think it's got like a green tint today. Like so. We have to be able to find some common ground. This is what he does. He is a free speech absolutist that will not change about anything. So he, and this is what the old liberals used to do and has largely changed. Google right now is getting grilled by Ted Cruz for censorship. Facebook and Twitter and such, they're all going. But Google, which owns YouTube, is right now in front, and he's like, I need to start seeing some stats because you guys got all these things in-house. So either we can go in and see him or you can volunteer and we'll get him. So... But what he's saying is, what the old liberals have always said is, I hate what you're saying. Like, he hates conservatives. He hates, he's a big-time atheist. He hates religion. He's like, look, like what he's talking about, Ann Coulter, he's like, what would your made-up Jesus think about this? Like, that's who he is.
Okay.
So.
I'm laughing at him already.
Yeah, he's funny. He's interesting and he's funny. So he's got that. And look, you guys know I'm a Christian guy and I'm a conservative, but I enjoy the hell out of watching him. But we found some common ground on I hate what you're saying. In fact, I hate most of what you stand for, but I will fight like hell for you to be able to say it. And he has stood on this forever. And he did it through 9/11. He lost his show after 9/11 for saying, and this is back when conservatives were not handling things properly. He said, look, you could say what you want, but there's no way in hell these Islamic terrorists who flew the planes into the World Trade Center, they were anything but cowards. They were evil. They were terrible. They were radical. There's a lot of bad things. They weren't cowards. These guys gave their lives for their belief. That's the opposite of cowardly. Lost a show. So, again, this was conservatives had an uproar, and that's not patriotic. It's just common sense. Yes, look, if you're willing to die for something, that's not cowardly. So he has never changed. He's never wavered on this. And, look, we all, I think, change and tweak our thoughts on things as we go in life. You get new data points. You know, it's science tells us more things, right? A lot of people who right now may not believe in climate change, if science tells us directly one way or the other really far, I think you don't have any choice but to start believing
facts
things, right?
Facts are right there in front of you. Sorry, those are facts.
Yes.
Those don't get...
So, you know, we all move a little bit, but he has stood pat on this, and this is what... You have that with his wit. He is the most watchable, across-the-aisle guy that any conservative can find. I would encourage all you guys to go watch it, because he may change your mind on some ideas, too, which maybe is good for you, right? A lot of their stuff, like the reason it's good to watch things across the aisle from your traditional beliefs is because you need to expand and at least understand where somebody's coming from. The problem is when we don't have a basic block of understanding and we have common ground on nothing, I can't listen to you. And this is true. Like, you try to go, if you are a Democrat in St. Louis and you turn on 97.1, your head's going to explode. Good luck, because they are legitimate conservatives and you guys don't have much to stand on. You got to find somebody across the aisle who you guys can have a basis of, we can agree on that. Let's start from there and then move. And that's what Bill does a lot of. And he'll have anybody on his show. And that, you know, that's the problem that Democrats right now are fighting. He had Pete Buttigieg on there, and he was talking about this specifically. He's like, you know, the reason that Democrats are struggling to get elected right now is because they're all scared as hell to go on Fox News, and that's where the biggest audience is. But you're scared of going to, you think you're legitimizing somebody by going to talk to the other party or listening to their ideas, as if that's somehow an insult to your ideas. No, just prove that your ideas are better. And perhaps some Democratic ideas are better. You got to be able to listen to them. But if you have no common ground with somebody whatsoever, you can't listen to them. I have been there. I'm like, you are so far outside the realm of being of sanity. I can't listen to you. Well, Bill, we start from a place where, like, at least we should be able to both say whatever we want and not say, like, I'll give you an example. And this is across, but he's a comedian at heart. It's across the line a little bit, but he said something about Ann Coulter, and then he's like, I'll make it up to you in bed later. Like, obviously over the line, but he's a comedian on HBO and you could say whatever. And they both agree that, like, oh, that was kind of rude, but you can say dumb
Did
things.
Did Ann say that?
No.
Okay.
No, but all I don't right. think, I think Ann, obviously, it knows who he is, knows what his track record is, and would know that would be in character, right? He's obviously just joking. He's obviously doesn't mean anything by it. It's just his show. He's trying to make people laugh, and it worked, right? So if you can add a little bit of humor and you can find some common ground, we can actually start sharing ideas instead of yelling from over here and never talking to those people, because that may legitimize their ideas. How is that useful? So that's what I've been thinking about the last couple of days. So here you go.
You've been in deep thought.
Yeah. Well, I've been down this.
See, this is what happens in July when there's not much sports to talk about. You guys, you get in deep thought, and then we're like, uh-oh, here it comes.
This is, I've been down this Bill Maher rabbit hole of, like, you go watch his stuff. You may agree with some stuff. I told you, I disagree with the vast majority of his stuff, but he's interesting, and it's about perspective. Because if you get enough perspective, sometimes it either reinforces your ideas that you hold, or it may begin to change them. You shift one direction or another, and you at least see the why, right? Because most of the time, Democrats say conservatives are evil and they care nothing about anybody, and Republicans say Democrats are idiots. They cannot possibly think. It's because one party typically thinks more about people and needs and emotions, and one party thinks more about logic, right? Republicans are all about logic, and sometimes that is without thought of people in general, and that you go too far that direction, that's not a good thing. If you're thinking all about emotion, then you have no logic, then you're really screwed. So both sides, this is why oftentimes when you guys can have a split house, if you could ever talk to each other, you may come up with something that is probably a little less logical, but is a little better for people, and it's probably the best policy. But that's so outdated. Like, well, I couldn't tell you the last time we had any kind of type of discussion about that.
I think the unfortunate side of it is, it's just an observation on my part, is if depending on whatever side you're on, if you give in, it's a sign of weakness.
Absolutely right.
And that's wrong. It's wrong to think that way because that's not the case. The case is, like you just said, you're trying to find the best solution for everyone involved. That may not be the best solution for me personally because it doesn't benefit me, but if it benefits the other 70 people that are in the room, that's the best scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Just not best for me. But if I go along with that, then, well, it's a sign of weakness, and that we got to get beyond that. I don't know if we ever will, but that's kind of where it's at right now.
I don't know what used to be. I didn't live back then, but I know this. It would seem logical that if you stood for something and you said, this is my perfect utopia, you need layers to that because this is perfect. However, this is still good and this is acceptable. So I got to minimally get that. And so you put your best negotiator up there to get as much of that as you can while giving some to the other side, recognizing that you don't have all of perfect ideas and some other people may have some a different layer of things that they need to get done. And if you can get all the things that you need while still cracking a deal, you're the genius. You don't need to get every single thing and totally wreck everybody else. Like, if you guys can come to something, give a little, take a little. But that is not always my big issue with the house right now. And this is going on a long time, is that if you try to get anything done, they say, fine, we'll give in so long as you give us this. And then you pass one bill that has 90 different things, 90% of them are fluff and stupid. And you can't get the one thing in the bill that everybody can agree on passed without trying to get concessions everywhere else. Just put one thing in the bill. Can we say that you need relief after a hurricane? Can we do that? Stop trying to put all of your crazy ideas in after that. Let's get relief to everybody that needs it right now, pass the bill, and that's it. Super simple, but instead you have to always get, well, I need a little more over here, and I need a little more over here. Pretty soon the bill's packed with a bunch of fluff and nothing. You can't get anything done.
Yep.
So politics are stupid. there you go. Let's read some text, shall we? Shall we? Inge Joe's Cave-Eyed Magic Man. If anybody says they would sleep with Ann Coulter, they are obviously joking that.
Okay.
Or their one sick pistol.
All right.
Oh, boy. Gino Ogic, you basically just described the way the game was played before all players became divas.
I guess when we were talking about
the list. Yeah.
Oh, there's some truth in that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Splashback says Marte also limped his way to first base on the fielder's choice. He barely beat out, then chose to try to steal second, got thrown out by 10 feet. How weird.
Yeah. I mean, that was the whole scenario there, that he could have had two guys on first instead. They got the force out, and then he was thrown out. So that was the ultimate backfire by him not taking first base instead.
Do you guys think, how old are you, Q?
24.
Okay. So you and I are the same generation. We're only 4 years apart. Jim, you are a little older.
Yes, I am.
Was there a time, and do you think there will be a time, where we return to sanity in politics?
Unfortunately, I don't think it'll be in my lifetime.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or here's what it will take if it does happen. There's going to be one galvanizing figure, and I don't know who that person is. It's going to take one person to galvanize the whole thing, and I don't know if that person even is alive right now or even anywhere in the game of politics on the radar. But I think that's what it takes.
You don't think it's Trump, huh?
I don't think it's Trump. No, I don't.
A lot of people thought it was Obama, and he ended up being somewhat divisive. Well, whether it's his fault or not, he ended up being very divisive.
There's a lot of truth in it. I think a lot of people did think that. Like, oh, this is the guy.
Yeah.
And he's going to galvanize both sides. And it unfortunately didn't happen. There's still too much of what I just spoke of. If I give in to him, then it's a sign of weakness, and I'm not on board with that. So I don't like the guy.
There are
and vice versa. It works both ways. It's on both sides. So, you know, if somebody's, mm-hmm. You're saying that. No, it works both ways. It's going to take one special person that's going to galvanize things, and it'll fix it. But it'll only fix it for a short period of time.
Mm-hmm. I think that was Reagan. Because they were trying to elect him.
He's kind of one of those guys, yeah.
For a third one. Well, he used to be a Democrat, and then he switched. I mean, he's the last Republican to win California. That tells you a lot about who he was.
He, like FDR, could have ran for life if there weren't term limits.
That's right.
Yeah.
And, in fact, we tried to do that through George H. And then, you guys remember, Ross Perot came in, and so he won one term, didn't win the second one, probably would have won both. And I think Clinton minus the scandals, was fairly likable. He had the scandals.
He does have that aura about him.
You could even,
I mean, the biggest speaker at the Democratic convention is when he shows up still.
That's right.
And he still captures the country anytime he's on TV at that convention. You go, wow, did you see him? He was really good. Well, guess what? He's done. You can't run anymore.
That's right.
You got to find a new guy.
That's right. I will tell you this about the Clintons.
Or gal. I'm not. You got to find a new individual.
Right.
Go ahead. I interrupted your thoughts. Sorry.
No, it's good.
You just ruined it. I know.
My buddy knows all the Secret Service guys because most of them are foreign military and such. You know, it's a lot of special. You'd be stunned at how many Special Forces guys are in the Secret Service. And he said the most likable guy that most of them have ever worked with is Bill Clinton. Sit down, have a beer, have fun. I mean, now you might disagree.
Because he could get the Garrels or what?
Listen, Bill Clinton.
Whether you like it or not, that's true.
Bill Clinton cannot cross the street without sleeping with somebody. But George H., everybody loved George H. He especially liked George W. was I think he was in the Air Force, but he used to like love the SEALs. So he'd go over and see him as often as he could and all that kind of stuff. However, a lot of the military turned because they were like, we're in a war we shouldn't be in, okay? And so there was some of that, but they liked him. But they're like, so far as somebody you just want to hang out with, Bill Clinton's pretty freaking awesome. He's just cool. Go have a beer with a guy and just hang out, and he's just fun. He's got a smile. He's laid back. Everything's good. It's one of the guys you want to hang out with. The opposite of that is Hillary. Could not have been a more mortifying figure in the White House because we know that she was in the White House for 8 years, and she mistreated every Secret Service person that ever existed. They weren't allowed to be in the room, couldn't hear her talking, nothing. And Bill was like, Hillary, they're fine. Get them out of here. You know, it's just.
Opposites attract.
Right? Yeah, no kidding.
That would be definitely the case there.
Yeah. So, anyhow, I believe we have a caller that we will get to in a second. I pulled a John, and I don't have my headphones in. Who's our? We have caller Jeff, who would like to have a discussion with us here, Jim.
Okay.
And he wants to talk about Mizzou football. Should we take it?
Absolutely. Mizzou football is always on the table.
Jeff, what's up, man?
Hey, Jeff. How you doing, man? I called you, Jeff. TJ, what's up?
All right. Jeff.
We're all starting to go.
Oh, my God.
I thought you were introducing yourself. I was with you there. You're like, wow. Hey, Jeff. You know, it's like, hey, TJ, what's going on? Just introducing yourself real quick.
Oh, my God. I guess that was a little bit of the stage fright, even though nobody can see me. It's kind of pathetic. But, so I call you, TJ, once a year just to get excited about Mizzou football and get your thoughts on going into camp. What can you say to get me even more excited than I probably shouldn't be? And I think it's another year where, you know, there's reason to be excited. And then we just got to see what actually happens during the season, especially since it's Mizzou. But I look at Kelly Bryant and – you see him, he's a classic dual threat type guy. He's got burner speed, and he can throw the football. I hear everybody talking about how, well, okay, but he can kind of throw the ball okay. But when you're a guy who has that type of threat with your legs, first of all, your receivers don't have to be as dynamic as far as running routes to get open, because even if you don't have receivers that can get open reliably, you put a quarterback like that back there, now they don't always have to get open. Sometimes they're going to be left open because of the breakdown that his scrambling is going to be able to cause. So when you add that element, I think people are being a little bit overly downplaying what he's going to be able to do passing the ball, because we haven't seen a guy like this at Mizzou. Honestly, I think Brad Smith is the last guy we've had that was a true dual threat. And it seems like people that are starting to – they're trying to pump the brakes on what Kelly Bryant's going to be able to do in the passing game, because they don't understand that we have this great offensive line and his dual threat is going to make every other part of our offense better, and it's going to make his throwing not have to be as spot on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, here's what I think the media and not Odom. Odom actually just told Matt Hayes of Bleacher Report that the most underrated part of his game is his downfield passing ability. So Odom really believes in him and or is at least saying that publicly. I think what the media is largely trying to say is, dude, if you think this is going to be the arm of Drew Lock, you're kidding yourself. That might have been the best arm in college football last year. So they're saying temper your expectations a little bit. This might be a little bit more more of a normal college quarterback. I mean, you know, it's like Chase Daniel is probably the most accurate quarterback that will ever come to Missouri. Blaine Gabbert may have the strongest arm. Drew may have the best mix of those two things. Brad Smith was the best runner. I mean, you got all these things. James Franklin was the most physical quarterback that you'll probably ever have at Missouri. You know, he was built like a fullback that could throw the ball. So everybody's got their own thing. What they're saying is, look, you're coming off Drew Lock, who can make any throw in the book with his eyes shut as far downfield as you want him to make it. That's not going to be Kelly Bryant. And I think that's true. So far as what you're saying about receivers just running open because Kelly Bryant can scramble, that's true if the play totally breaks down to where guys just peel off the receiver. But this is the SEC, dude. I mean, those corners are legit. They're not – most of these guys will be taken one-on-one, and the safety over the top is going to be on Albert O. So they're he's going to have to earn it. I don't think you can run around all the time and then just toss it up and there's going to be a guy wide open. This isn't like Clemson. That's the other thing. Clemson had substantially better receivers over the years than Missouri's had. I mean, Sammy Watkins came out of there. They have the one kid now who
Hopkins.
They have the one kid now who was the freshman last year that made the one-handed crazy catch in the sideline against Alabama. They've been really, really good. So they could kind of throw it up to those guys. Missouri doesn't have any of those guys. The closest thing is Albert O., who it's tougher to do that at tight end than it is on the outside because you can't just toss it up when there are three guys in the area. You toss it up to a guy one-on-one on the outside who's faster and bigger and stronger as a receiver than a tight end. That is a little bit tougher. But so far as what you're saying about the offensive line, I think they're going to be really good. I think Larry Roundtree is the most under-talked about player in the SEC. He may be first-team All-SEC. I think he was the second leading rusher in the SEC last year. Coming back with three offensive linemen, with a quarterback that's going to have they're going to be doing a lot of zone read, and for the first time since, I guess, Matty Mock did a little bit, but
probably James
was mostly. They're actually going to have to keep a guy stay home on the other side, which is going to take somebody from the box. There's a lot of elements to like, dude. I said this yesterday to Mod Hicks on Channel 5. Missouri should be 8-0 going into the bye week, getting ready for Georgia.
They should be. I agree with that. I think I'll be happy with 7-1 just because that just means one mistake. So, I mean, there's some decent teams in there that, you know, wouldn't be ashamed to lose to them. But I think South Carolina's underrated, by the way. But I just see a couple of things different. Like, I see that Larry Roundtree – I think his catching ability is underrated. And
well, we haven't seen much of it. That's really Tyler Beatty's job back there, and he's going to be playing a lot. I imagine he's going to be the third down back this year.
And Beatty. So the underneath passing game is just – I mean, they're going to have a huge ability to just clean up on that because the athletes are through – like Tyler Beatty is an absolute athlete. Absolute athlete. And Larry Roundtree is a beast. And then you've got this quarterback. So that's three guys that will be on the field at the same time, a decent amount of the time. And then you've got the offensive line we've got. And then you've got Albert O. So I just think there's a lot to contend with.
Oh, there is.
Yeah, I know. I understand that it's SEC and everybody's legit. But everybody was legit when he was at Clemson, and he went 16-2.
No, everybody was not legit at Clemson. The ACC is perhaps the worst conference of the last 5 years.
Okay. Well, maybe not. But he did well against good teams and good games.
Absolutely right.
And I just feel like he's going to have a lot to work with. And I just think that, I don't know. I think Jalen Knox showed me some things last year.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that our receiving core is, compared to good years in our program's history, they're not going to measure up to that. But my point is, do they have to be that good when there's going to be such a versatile attack in all areas of the field type of a roster? And then you've got an NFL coordinator who he knows how to maximize a lot of those things. And he's not just going to run like the college RPO. Like, he understands how to run an NFL scheme and just getting people to do exactly what suits everyone best. So, I don't know. I just like to hear you talk about our offense's potential and breaking it down and what I'm missing and what you think we might be missing on offense, if anything. So,
will do. Thanks for the call, Jeff.
So, take care, man.
All right.
M-I-Z.
Z-O-U. There you go. A couple things on that. Dooley was not an NFL coordinator. He was an NFL receiver coach, and he's a college guy. I mean, he was head coach at he was at Louisiana Tech for a long time, head coach there. Then he was head coach at Tennessee, and then he was a receiver coach in Dallas. So he's not an NFL guy, and you don't want to run an NFL style attack with Kelly Bryant. You want the college RPO. You know, if you could study Oregon when they had more of the running quarterback deal. Mariota was obviously an unbelievable passer, but he was fast. You steal some stuff from Oregon, and really, they got the receivers to do that, too. If you could get Jonathan Johnson running some pitch path, and you could do a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and actually, to comment on what Jeff said earlier about the receivers, you know, and dealing with the dual-threat quarterback where they don't have to run as crisp routes, well, I actually think that's the complete opposite. You might be able to agree with me, you know, as former receivers here. If I know that my quarterback is willing to run on an instance, that means I have to get open so he can see me much quicker than I would if I know, okay, well, I don't have to worry about him back there running. I can get down the field a little further. I can create some separation here, you know, 10, 12 yards, whatever the route is.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. I think you're going to put more pressure on the receivers to have to get open earlier with Kelly Bryant back there.
Yeah, I think that's one point, and it's a good one. He's just not as accurate, and his arm is not as strong as Drew Lock, and that is not a shot at Kelly Bryant. He might end up being a better quarterback for Missouri. Could happen. Drew threw, I think, 99 touchdowns, and, you know.
Drew was a passing guy.
Yeah. Yes.
Bottom line.
You're not going to have that. Yeah. So part of this is tempering expectations in the passing game. That doesn't mean the offense can't be as explosive. The other thing is he doesn't have Emmanuel Hall. It sure would have been nice if Emmanuel Hall would have redshirted, by the way. He could have, and he chose not to. Instead, he wanted to come back and basically sit out half of the bowl, Liberty Bowl, and, you know, that was his decision, but it sure would have been nice if you could have just aired it out to a guy that's going to be 5 yards behind a lot of people if he were healthy. But he's going to have to figure it out. And to your point about getting more open, I think that would have more to do with I never thought, well, this guy's probably going to run, even though James Franco would run. What I would be thinking probably was, if he's not quite as accurate, I got to be more open. James didn't have quite as strong an arm as Blaine. But Blaine didn't have the downfield touch that James did. So there was some give and take. And you would know based on what route you were running with each quarterback, because James was a freshman there when Blaine was a junior. So when we'd be going through drills with them, if I were running with Blaine a short route, get in, get out, the ball's going to be there, I can get up the sideline. Mm. With James, I got to get in, get out, and try to catch it before I'm out of bounds, because the ball's not getting there very quick.
Mm.
When I'm running deep with Blaine, you try to be really freaking open because he's going to try to thread the needle, even if you could just throw it over the top of a guy. With James, he's probably going to drop it in the basket and hit you running. Just a different thing. So if you know a guy is not as accurate, you need to be more open, because what if he throws behind you? I didn't think guys were going to throw it behind. Matty Mauch was a little bit erratic when he threw it early on in his career. When Matty threw it, dude, you need to be real open, because if the ball's back there, you still got to find a way to get it. And if the guy's right in your hip pocket, that ball's going to them. So, anyway, Rob Dibble's butt tattoo says, Jeff called to talk to Jeff. Has Hadley roughed off on the listeners? Splashback Deuce, dual threat, that's racist. Hockey Bob says, I think it's sad that folks will determine beauty by one's political view. I would definitely sleep with Ann Coulter. You think Hockey Bob's
all
got
right,
that
Bob.
Choice?
Good luck.
Yeah, I don't think Ann Coulter's sleeping with...
No.
Hockey Bob.
No,
probably she's probably
not.
Sleeping with somebody, though.
Hey, real quick, the one thing that I'm a little worried about with this offense, I want to know who the third running back is, because you're going to need one.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Beatty's super talented, but he's still undersized.
Mm-hmm.
And over the course of the time in the SEC for this program, they've needed all three at various points. They're going to need a third one. to jump in there and carry the load at some point. And I want to know who that third guy is, and can he do it? And can he do it without turning the football over? Usually that guy, I mean, you know, you when you get, if it's a new guy, whoever the new guy is, you know, he's always going to take a couple knocks, and he's going to lose a football once or twice before he figures it out.
Oh, that's absolutely right.
I mean, every guy that ever runs in this league goes through that at some point.
I'm looking for, because I'm blanking on his name right now, and it's not on the depth chart.
Is it the kid from Kansas City? Isn't yeah. there a kid from, I don't know if it's them. There was a kid from Kansas City who was close to cracking it last year, but I don't know.
Simi Bakari.
That's who I thought.
The Rock Round. He's from Texas.
Okay.
He scored a touchdown, I think, against Tennessee.
That's who I'm thinking of. He's not from Kansas City, right.
That's the one who's next in line. He's 5'10", 205.
Good size.
Who knows?
Decent size.
Yeah.
Running backs come and go all the time. Mm-hmm. They've had a nice line of them here.
Right. But you're going to need three.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Who was it? We had three really good ones a few years back.
Henry Josey, Marcus Murphy, Russell Hansbrough.
Yes, but it was after them. It was right after.
After them?
It was after them. We had three guys, and one guy hurt his ankle in the first game and was basically had that high ankle sprain through half the year. It may have been that group. So one of them.
Russell Hansbrough hurt his ankle.
That's who I'm thinking of. That Hansbrough was going to be the guy, but you had two other guys that were going to be really able to help out. But Hansbrough hurt his ankle, and he was basically done for 6 weeks. First six weeks of the year.
He was out a while. And that's when Murph really turned it on, because Murph and Hansbrough were together for a bit after Henry. Those three were stunningly good. But, yes, Russ had major ankle issues, and he was very good. He actually was on with the Buccaneers for a little while.
Yeah,
I don't know if he's ever on the active roster, but he was good. And then, yeah, they've had Crockett since then. They've had Larry Roundtree, who the coaches adore, by the way. You talk about the guy who does everything right. Mm-hmm. He is Mr. First one there, last one out the door. Yes, sir. No, sir. Nice to meet you. Articulate. Smart. He's like, when I talk to the coaches, they're like, if I am making a list and checking boxes of what I need out of a player, he checks every single box.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All of them.
I mean, just imagine had Demaryius stayed. That would have been one of the best groups of running backs in the country.
Yeah, and I wonder if Demaryius kind of knew he wasn't going to get too many carries.
Well, that could be, but it'd sure be nice to have Demaryius in that group.
Mm-hmm.
If Larry gets banged up, you're going to need that guy.
I get the feeling the coaches didn't care too much for Demaryius Crockett.
Could be, but when he was healthy and he played, he was pretty effective.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think I would have checked all the boxes if I were like 6 inches taller, 4 or 5 tenths of a second faster, didn't drop as many passes, put on a little muscle, maybe I was a little smarter. I could have been funnier probably.
Or a different number maybe.
Yeah, I don't know if I checked any boxes.
I think it was the number that made you look slow.
Yeah, 28. That's so true. Those single digits are just the help.
Marcus Murphy, you look at a guy, for him.
You look at a receiver who's 28, and you're like, that kid's got to suck.
Yeah, we're not throwing
it. Why is a receiver wearing 28?
It's racist, isn't it?
Yes! You nailed it.
He's just a possession receiver. He's no good.
Who gave 20? Is it a converted running back? Why are his legs so short?
Do we have anybody else that can run around here? Get this guy out of there.
This just doesn't make any sense.
Hey, speaking of college football,
yes,
it's always good to talk. It's SEC Media Days. Today was Nick Saban's day, which is a zoo down at SEC Media Days.
Did we take our break or do we not?
We have not.
Well, let's take our break and we'll talk about it.
Let's do that. We'll be back on the other side of the hard line.